And turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. Isaiah 35. The Lord has given His preachers some instruction. And this is what He says. Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Speak to their heart. Well, today I'd like to consider this wonderful passage of Scripture, and it's dealing with the mercy of God to all of His people, Jew and Gentile. And I pray that the Lord is pleased to bless this to our hearts. Bless it to the hearts of His people that He's everlastingly loved. Those that the Son laid down His life, shed His blood, and regenerated by His Holy Spirit. Now, I want us to be reminded of something. We're traveling through this world. We're on a journey. And this world is not our home. Now, we know that. It's a world that shall never, but for the grace of God, is never going to love the God that we love. It's a world that will never, but for the grace of God, believe on the Christ that we trust. And it's a world that shall never be comforted by the gospel that we preach. But as we're traveling through this world, this valley of the shadow of death, believers, all believers, are like Abraham. We're looking for a city that hath foundations. A city whose builder and maker is God. And we need some comfort. God's people want to know God. Paul the Apostle said this. Paul, that had been called out of darkness, he said, "Oh, that I might know Him and be found in Him." Is that not what we want? Really? We want to be comforted, refreshed from the Scriptures, that we might receive that which the Lord has been pleased to send. Now, for sake of time, I'm going to be in chapter 35. But if you get a chance, chapter 34. I've read it, and I encourage you to read it. But what it's doing is it sets forth the judgment that the Lord shall surely, justly pour out upon the unregenerate. Now, God is just. He's a just God and a Savior. But knowing what He says in chapter 34, And how the justice of God is going to deal with sin. The Lord is either going to deal with sin in a substitute for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, or He's going to deal with us. He's going to be just. He's just. He's just God. So here I want us to know what was said in verse chapter 34. It was dealing with judgment, dealing with justice. God's fair. He's fair. But now in 35, it's a chapter that deals with the indescribable mercy of Almighty God. Here, I want us to look at something. I'm going to start in verse 1 and then go through verse 10 and just see what the Lord has been pleased to do. He says in verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 35, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. Now, this is a kind of an introductory. It's going to tell us who the them are. We're going to look at that in just a second. It's going to tell us who these them, that's not going to come out right. It's going to, who these thems are. Who they are. You know what I mean. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Now here's what it is. God's just. And He's going to deal. He's going to deal with men, women that are found to be left to themselves. Will not bow to Him. God's going to deal with them. He's going to cast them out if they die in that state. But there's a blessed promise that the Lord is going to do something for a people of His choosing, His mercy in them. They're born a wilderness. They're born a solitary place. A place where no spiritual life. But God's going to do something. He's going to send life. When we're born into this world, we don't know God. We're creatures of self. And we don't want to be in God's presence. How do I know that? Well, what did Adam and Eve do? Whenever Adam ate of the fruit, what did he do? What did they do? They hid themselves. There was no desire whatsoever for the Lord. But God came to them. They covered themselves with fig leaves to cover their nakedness. What did God do? He took the skins of an animal, clothed them, showed there. What's it going to take to hide your sin? Cover it, put it away. The shedding of blood. The Lord is going to do something. In this place, chapter 34 of judgment, where God is just, God's going to do something. He's going to spiritually liberate a people. He's going to set them free. He's going to give them life. But in that liberty, in that liberation, they're going to then know what the Lord has done for them. They know that. But they realize now, I'm struggling with something. I'm struggling with an old man in me. I've got an old man, this body of death, the Apostle Paul referred to it as. And they're struggling in this world, and they find themselves in need of encouragement. Before, they were self-sufficient. I did this, and this. I've settled things with God. I'm on the straight and narrow. I'm headed for heaven. I'm sure as there as I've already been there. I'm there. I'm good. A believer is a different creature. He's a different. He rejoices and he struggles. He rejoices in Christ Jesus and he sees that old man himself. So here's the word of the Lord. Here is a word of encouragement to God's people. It says to God's preachers concerning comforting him. Look at it says in verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. A believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is one that is quite aware of his spiritual frailty. He knows. He struggles to pray. He struggles to read. He struggles to hear. He struggles to preach. He's frail. He's a frail creature. And here's what I want to do. I want to remind us, first of all, God is just, and He's going to deal with sin. But in the dealing with sin for His people, He dealt with it in Christ. And that wilderness, verses 1 and 2, and that solitary place that was there by birth, God's going to do something. He's going to call some people out of darkness. I can't help but think right now, I've said this before, I can't help but think about what the Lord has done here. I'll just relate it to this place one more time. Lord willing, until I do it the next time. But I think of the mercy that God has shown to this little community right here. Here was a solitary place. Just a wilderness. What would there be in Katy, West Virginia, if God hadn't raised up a church here? What in the world would there be here that had any lasting significance? Nothing. Nothing. But here in this, think of it like that in verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. God's done something. He's raised up some folks and given them life in Christ. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Is that not so? Think of how God is so mercifully. You know, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The joy of the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Is that not so? In a solitary place, there ain't nothing here. There's nothing here, but God touched it. But God was pleased to raise up a place. God was pleased to 60-something years ago send a faithful preacher and call some people out of darkness. And here some of you have been here from the beginning. Just really. Right at it, if not at it. But think, are you not seeing yourselves in need and frail? All these years, you think, I think I'd get stronger and stronger. No. They get more and more of the realization of their weakness. You strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble needs. These ones that are quite aware of their frailty. They put no confidence in their flesh, and they need desperately to be strengthened. Their hands are, what can we do without Him? Without Him, you know, our ability to run the race, you know, what can we do? Lord, we're so feeble. We're so weak. You strengthen their hands. Those feeble knees, you know. And how is this done? How do I strengthen? When the Lord says, you strengthen the weak hands and confirm. How do I do that? Preach the gospel to them again. Tell them again. Tell them one more time. Tell them the truth. And you say, verse 4, say to them that are of a fearful, that is a hasty, if you got a margin there, a hasty, fearful heart. Here's what you say to them. Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Say to them that are of a hasty heart. What does that mean? Timid. Timid. A heart that's prone to tremble and to draw back before their enemies. You know, we say, well, we're strong. No, we're not. No, we're not. You think you are. You let you go into a doctor's office and let them give you some news that you really didn't want to hear. Doctor tell you, you've got some disease. Fine, let me see how strong you are. Oh, I'd never deviate. Oh, be careful. What do you say to them? You tell them, be strong. Fear not. Your God will come. Listen to this scripture, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord. That sounds good. How? How can I be strong in the Lord? Listen to this scripture, 2 Corinthians 12:10. Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because that's when I'll cast my all upon the Lord. I'll cry unto Him. A man is strong in himself. He doesn't need God's help. He thinks himself strong. Be strong in the Lord. How? Know your weakness. Know something of your weakness. And God's people do. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Power of His might. He says in Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, and we will. The waters of adversity, the waters of trial, we will. When thou passest through the waters, not if, but when, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, same thing. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, same thing. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And I'm telling you, when a believer is in the midst of adversity, they're thinking, I'm in the waters, I'm in the rivers, I'm in the fire. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy. Here is the foundation of our strength. Faith in Him. Behold, He said, your God will come with vengeance. Vengeance is mine. I'm going to repay, saith the Lord. But look at this. But even God with a recompense. What does that mean? A reward. A reward. The reward. What is the reward? I love this passage of Scripture. When the Lord told Abram, and we're going through the book of Genesis on Wednesday nights, and we're not to this one yet, but listen to Genesis 15:1. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Didn't that just thrill your heart? Don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm your shield. Look at verse 5 and 6 in our passage, Isaiah 35. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Now, without a doubt, whenever our Lord was here on this earth, He's talking about here, then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of deaf be unstopped. When our Lord was here on this earth, the Scriptures declare that the Father confirmed Him as being His messenger, His Messiah. He did it with miracles. And listen to this in Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And whenever the apostles were sent out in Hebrews chapter 2, when they were sent out and they were preaching the truth, and what did the Lord do as far as confirming them that they were truly men of God? They had these gifts, Hebrews 2, 3 and 4. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His will. So, whenever the Lord was here, and whenever He sent His people, His preachers here, He confirmed it with these actual miracles. But now, the word of promise from the Lord unto His people of concerning their spiritual sight, spiritual hearing, the blinded eyes in this place that was a desert, a wilderness, solitary place. He said, this is the way it's going to be. Now just think of what the Lord's done here. He's taken a place where there was nothing. Leave it to itself. It's just nothing but just rebellion and false religion and just nothing. Worthy only of judgment. But God. He was pleased to, you know. And what has happened? What happened? The eyes of the blind were open. This is the way we were born. We were born blind spiritually. The ears of the deaf unstopped. There was a time when we wouldn't hear the gospel. Wouldn't hear that. That's just not fair. That's not the way. But God, gets new ears, and all of a sudden you think, I believe it. I believe that. And the lame man shall leap as a hart, had no way of walking before God. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. I wouldn't sing songs until the Lord gave me. I wouldn't sing songs of His sovereign grace. I'm going to sing some songs that gives me some glory. Give me a little credit. You know, come on now. I may not have done everything, but I've done a whole lot more than most have. That's man by nature. Oh, in verse 7, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Now when Isaiah, this is an amazing word, when Isaiah refers to parched ground, when you look up and find the word and the root word, and from which, you know what it means? A mirage. Just, you know, you're kind of looking out there on the horizon. Have you ever been driving, and it's on a hot day, especially if it's out in the desert, and it looks like it's just kind of quivering out there, out on the edge, you know? And I've never actually seen a mirage where, like people out in the desert, I've seen it on movies, you know, where they look out there and they think they see palm trees and stuff out there on the horizon, and they're going because they're thinking, there's some water, there's some light, there's some rest, there's some shade there. It's a mirage. It's a mirage is what it is. It says, and the parched ground, that which promised life, that which promised refreshment, it shall become a pool. This is no empty hearing. The truth of the gospel is not an empty promise. This is real. According to the good pleasure of God to call out His own, He found them in a place that was just a mirage. They thought they saw it. They thought they had the promise coming. But it was a false promise. It wasn't there. It kept going, and eventually they realized I'm still striving. But when God called them out of darkness, they realized this is refreshment. This is a pool. It's a pool and it's got some springs of water. It's a place of true refreshment by the pleasure of Almighty God. And what was formerly a habitation of wild beasts, and I see in that habitation of dragons, where each lay, used to be a place where it was just monsters. I see that as us. That's us. That's where we were. But now what it is? Grass with reeds and rushes. Vegetation that grows around the pools of refreshment. Of life. These grass with reeds and rushes. People who haven't been born from again, blown upon by the Spirit of God, been called out of darkness, and now they truly do drink. That's what these rushes and these reeds, you see them there, they're like water lilies, and these cattails and stuff like that, all around water. They got to be right there. That's God's people. I want to be where refreshment is. I want to be where I can drink. I want to be where I can hear something that's truth that truly refreshes me. You know, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. And verse 8, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man. Though fools shall not err therein. Now, this place used to be nothing but barrenness. It was just a solitary place, a wilderness. But in that place where God's raised up the truth, the scripture says, it's going to be a highway there, a way. And here's what it's going to be called: the way of holiness. Way of holiness. This way of holiness, I'm not going to say what is it. I'm going to go ahead and just say who is it. The way of holiness is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. This is the way of holiness. What am I going to do? What, talk about my faithfulness and my ability of, again, to be strong and stuff. Let's talk about Him who is the way. He said, I am the way. Read it. Thinking of Him. And an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way. Look at that T. The. See it's capitalized? The way. Not a way. No. The. The way of holiness. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the chosen, appointed way. This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. You hear Him. The way of holiness. What is that? It's a walk of faith. To those that have some weak hands, feeble knees, fearful heart, here's the way of holiness. Lord, I want to follow You. Lord, You promised. You're not going to leave me. You're not going to forsake me. Lord, I believe You. I believe I'm a dying creature. I believe I'm going to leave this earth. Lord, I come to You. This is all I got. It's all I got. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. And the Scripture says on this way of holiness, the unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, the sojourner. That's what it means. The traveler. The pilgrim. Though fools. Yeah, I just dealt with this in a message just before this on fools. That word right there, if you want to look it up just for your information, there's two words for fools. One of them is Strong's number 191. The one I dealt with a while ago was Strong's number 3684. 3684 means a stupid fella. This don't mean that. This right here, that one is the fools. That's those simple. And though unlearned in much, they're not going to err. That's what it means. It's those, Paul says, we're fools for Christ's sake. That's what the world considers us to be. But they're not going to err. They're simple. There's much that they don't know, but they're kept by the power of God through faith. Much different word than the stupid fellow. These that God calls out of darkness, they're not stupid fellows. These are believers that see themselves needy, helpless, and longing after Him. The way of holiness, the unclean shall not pass, but it shall be for those, the travelers, the sojourners, the wayfaring men, though fools, they will not err. Here. Why? Kept by the power of God through faith. Kept by God's constraining grace. Desiring to walk after Him on that way of holiness. Believing Him by faith. Though fools, that's what it says. Though fools. Though they see themselves as unlearned, ignorant. As I said a while ago, Paul said, oh, that I might know Him. That I might know Him. Growing in grace, they're not going to wander away from this way. They're not going to wander. They're not going to err. In verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon, but it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. There's not going to be anything that's going to harm them. Nothing going to harm them. No. If Almighty God allows us to go, whatever we go through, what do we see? Through the rivers, through the waters, through the fire, I'll be with you. I'm going to save you. There's not going to be anything that they dread eternally. The way of holiness is the way of safety. It's safe. It's safe. Life eternal is given to the objects of God's mercy, and they're not going to perish. They're not going to err. They're not going to be cast out. The way of holiness is the haven of rest. It's the rock. It's the foundation upon who the church is built. And there's no cause for alarm. Death is. I heard a dear believer one time make this just before they died. They said, this disease that I have, this disease is my friend. My friend. This is the way God's going to call me into His presence. They're not going to err. They're not. Verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their hearts, their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Here's a declaration of the surety of final salvation. The chosen, the elect, the redeemed, the regenerated shall surely be found safely coming to Zion, heavenly Jerusalem. Triumphantly, they shall all be saved. They shall come with rejoicing in their hearts, singing of the grace of Almighty God unto the Lord. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Listen to Isaiah 25:8 in closing. He shall swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. We're born in a state of wilderness. We're born in a state of a solitary place. But Almighty God has been pleased to declare that He's got a people, that He's going to open their eyes, open their ears, give them a new heart. And they're going to realize what they are by nature. They're going to realize that I'm just a weak, frail creature of dust. But the Lord has been pleased to call me and has given me a heart to trust Him. And I, by the grace of God, will be found in that way of holiness. Not because of anything I've done, but what He's done for me. And I trust Him. And He's promised, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And they hold on to that. That's their hope. What He said. And He said they're going to be found. They're going to be found coming to Zion. They're not going to err. They're not going to deviate. I'm going to save them by my grace to these people. I pray God bless this to our heart. His glory, our good. Amen.